welcome to the Mug Meetings Summaries podcast. I'm Gilbert Detilieu. Our October meeting's RTFM topic was presented by Michael Dube, who was talking about the rsync command.
So we want to talk about rsync, which is remote synchronization of files. And just to add some extra excitement to this talk, we're going to do it on Gilbert's machine, which I've never seen before. So I assume rsync is on here, so why don't we check? rsync. Good. Okay, good start. Okay, so what we want to do is synchronize files. So I thought I would give several types of examples. I'll demonstrate sort of some of the different parameters on this machine itself. And are we connected to the internet okay? Yeah, okay. Then we'll talk about connecting with a different machine running an rsync daemon. We have nothing here. Right, okay. So what we'll do is we'll make a couple of directories. Okay, and maybe we'll add some files to one of them. So we'll have a file, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about that. I made a mess.
That's okay. No,
you still have three files.
Yeah, that wasn't what we wanted. So one of them's going to have a funny name. Let's see what we have here. So in the first directory, we have these interesting files, 1, 2, 3, 3.4.5, 4, and 5. In the second directory, we have nothing, right? So all we've done is set up ourselves with something to work with. And the general idea with rsync is you want to synchronize files from one directory to another directory, potentially on different machines, potentially on different pieces of hardware within the same machine. So let's try the simplest thing. So we'll do an rsync. The happiest parameter you'll be with is the -a. That's the archiving parameter. It's actually an alias for about five or six different parameters. But what it does is it turns on the recursive synchronization. If you have subdirectories, it turns on the saving of the different properties, the different ownership, the different timestamps. So you can set each one of these separately, but the archive way is the easiest one. So if we have one directory for D1 and we have a second directory for D2, so we run this, and now can we go back to our listing? So now you see in D1 we have our files, and in D2 we have a second set of the files, right? So we just synchronize them over. Essentially how you do the synchronization. I should point out one little cute thing. So let's delete everything out of D2. I'll type this really carefully. Okay, we got rid of everything in D. We still have D1. That's good. When I did this synchronization, I put in the backslash after both of the that wasn't what we wanted to do. Okay, so let's see. Are we got only... Get rid of that, this one. Okay, we'll try again. That's our RSync. So what I was trying to do is to take that off. Okay, so now when we list it again, everything. Maybe I'll get my home machine out. We'll try this RSync again. And now we go back to the listing command, which is way back here. Okay, so do we have the same thing?
Yep.
We do have the same thing. Which shows that things can vary from machine to machine, because that backslash is supposed to give you a recursive copy, so the files in one get done, the files in the other, as opposed to them appearing in a subdirectory under D2. That's interesting.
It's the other slash.
Take the slash off of the source, not the destination.
Okay.
We haven't deleted those yet.
Yeah, I know, but we're still okay. So. So we see we have the things under D2, and we have the, under D2, there's a subdirectory D1, that's the copy of the D1, and that also has another set of files there, okay? So the moral of the story is that there are some Unix commands where the backslash after the directory is really important, and this is one of them.
Forward slash.
Okay, so... Yeah. Okay, so are we back to where we were before? Yes. Okay, so So we have our set of files, and let's go back to the original setting. Okay, so that gives us our two sets now, right? So we have one set on the left, one set on the right. Suppose we want to change one of the files. So let's say we change D1-file5, since that's there. So now we look at our listing, and you can see file 5 has a later time date. So these two are out of synchronization, and what you want to do when you do your rsync is to get it back in synchronization so that this is, this one pointing at the screen doesn't help, has now been updated to the right. Okay, so that's sort of the basic idea. You have your source directory, you have your target directory, and whenever you run rsync, the things in the source directory update the things in the target directory. Incidentally, there's another thing you can add to rsync. In fact, if we do, I think, two Vs to make it more verbal, it will tell you everything that it did. So you see what it says here, file 1, so it did the synchronization. File 1's up to date, 2, all of them are up to date, no matches, no hits. That VV is very useful if you want to see what's actually happening. Actually, there's an N parameter, which means pretend you're doing it but don't really do it, and that can save you a lot of grief. So if we do that touch command again, this one on file 5, we run the same command, it will tell us that, you see, file 5 is now not up to date, so you can keep track of exactly what's going to happen and what's going to go on. Okay, so and then when you do the rsync, they get up to date. Now, there's another thing worth noting. Suppose we go over to the directory 2 and we remove a file from it. So let's take file 1, say, out of D2. So let's look and see what we have. Okay, so now D2 only has 2, 3, 3, 4, 5, 4, and 5. Okay, whereas you have the file 1 here. Okay, so if we rsync, go back and look at our rsync, then you can see what's going to happen. File 1 is now not up to date, but file 5 is up to date because you rsynced them back. Okay, so you do exactly what you would think you were going to do. Now, let's go and delete something from directory 1. So let's take file 2 from directory 1. Okay, so let's see where how we're doing. So file 2 is gone from the first directory, and now we do our rsync again, okay? So let's just do the regular rsync. We'll take out the verboseness. And if we look at what's here, you can see what's happened is that the file 2 that we deleted from directory 1 is gone, but it's still there in directory 2. So this is one of the standard things of rsync that you have to be aware of. Namely, it's not a mirror. It doesn't work like a perfect mirror. If you do an rsync, it will compare the files you have with the files that are there. It won't compare the files that you don't have with the files that are there, right? Compare the files that you don't have. Yeah. We'll stop trying to parse that, okay? So you, if you really do want to delete the files, then there is a... there's a dash delete or a dash D. Yeah. And then once you do that, then you should have everything matched up again. Okay? So it doesn't work exactly like a mirror, but you can make it work like a mirror. But what it does do is that everything you have here will be put there, regardless of what you have there. At the office we use for our tech work, one of the things we do every night is run a cron job that takes the home directory and makes a copy of that just in temp. It's the same machine in temp. Now, I'm sure no one in this room has ever gone RM something and then gone oops, right? Never happened, right? Not to one of us. But sometimes some of our people who work for us delete something by mistake. And this is the easy comeback. And actually, we had an interesting thing once that Craig was a witness to, where we had someone sort of delete everything they had while we were meeting in Montreal. And we found out about that while we were sitting in the lobby having coffee, looking at our email. And repairing it took, 2 minutes. You logged on, and everything was... So this stuff can really save your bacon if you want to.
That's where you don't want to use a rsync-delete.
Yeah, well, not afterwards, right? Yes. So, but for for keeping copies of things as a kind of mirroring, if you want, it really has turned out to be a useful thing for us. Now, there's a huge number of things that you can do. Let's empty D1, D2 again. Okay, so what are we doing here? So, D1. So, if we want to do our rsync, if you only want to rsync only some of the things, or not some of the things, you can. You have the things that will remind you of tar, where you can run deletes and includes. So, what am I looking for here?
Exclude.
Thank you. Exclude is the word. I think two for exclude, right? So if we want to exclude, say, file 3, I think we're okay there. Let's see how we do. So there's our rsync. We look back what we have. And file 1 and 3, 4, 5, 4, and 5 is there, but 3 is not, right? If you want, well, let's empty this again. Here's an interesting one. So we empty this again. If we want, we can say exclude file 3 star. Let's try that. Okay, so now we have file 1, 4, 5, and the file 3 didn't get passed on, and the file 4 didn't, the 3.4.5 didn't either. But what happens if you want to exclude file 3 but include file 3.4.5? This is interesting. So you have a --include. So let's put that in. --include file 3.4.5. Okay? So if we do that, we run it. Now let's see what we have. It's not there. And why is that? Well, if you think about it, you excluded it at first, and then you included it, and it's too late. Okay? So let's go back, and we'll take out the include file. And we'll include it before we exclude it. I guess I should have done a cut and paste. And I think we'll be okay now. Yeah, there it is. Okay. So, as we're fond of saying, it's not commutative, right? You can't do these in either order. You do have to be careful. So, but, and of course, there are just loads and loads. I mean, here's the man page if you want to read it. But it'll take the rest of the evening. So there's lots of ways you can control this and you can use it. Now, one of the really useful things is to do remote syncing. So let's try something here. What I'm going to try to do is to rsync to the central CTAN mirror. That's the tech archive. Let's do this. Now, at first blush, this looks like I'm copying the whole thing over, which is about 20 gigabytes, but we're not. Because there's a nice thing about rsync. If you don't give a destination directory, just a source, it will just go out and find it and beep that. No, it doesn't beep at you. Aha. And if the port were open, it would list the table of contents for you. And so you can actually use this to go to wherever you're going to find the actual things you want to download. They could be directories to download recursively, or they could be individual files. And however, it looks like we're not going to be able to do the individual files. So.
You put SSH out server at the university.
Oh, yeah. SSH is working? Well, okay, let's... this really quickly. Did I do something wrong?
You might want to do that as yourself.
That's true. Get out? Oh, we'll let us get out without a password. Okay. Yeah, you're quite right. Well, we'll give this a quick try, and if I can't do this quickly, then we'll... this isn't the one I usually use. Yeah, okay. Well, let's see if this will work. So what we wanted to do... So what it does is it gives a listing of that directory. It's not a very big directory, so why don't we go on CTAN? So that will give us the listing. This is a little bigger. So there we go. So these are, you know, all the files that are on that site. You can go through the site and find the things you want to do. And then when you want to get something, like CTAN sites, that's very small. So you would just do the the rsync 10 sites and the dot. I think that should work. So, ooh, or maybe not.
Uppercase C.
Oh, did I? You're right. Yep, my mistake. Let's try it again. Okay. So now, so there's CTAN sites, and it's there sitting on the machine. We can look at it and do just what you, as the ones in Africa. Canada should be in here too, right? Oh, that way. Yeah, there we go. So CTAN.cms.math.ca. That happens to be in my office, so very convenient. Actually, it's about 3 feet away from the machine that we're on now. So you see, you can just pull stuff right off. In fact, not on this machine, but on a different machine that acts as CTAN.cms.math.ca, the actual machine, runs rsync every night, and that's how it updates its stuff. So the initial 20 gigabytes or so, you twiddle your thumbs while you get that down, but you only download the stuff that you really need, and you do it with the dash delete, and that works. Incidentally, rsync is pretty smart on the way it downloads files, because it can download pieces of files, too. So if you have a big file, it'll just realize the pieces that need to be downloaded and just get those. So there's a lot of efficiency and a lot of use for that. Okay, so maybe that's probably about the right length of time. So,
Okay. No. Thank you, Michael. We'll break for.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more Mug Meetings summaries or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website at muug.mb.ca.